Welcome to another edition of To Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn. My name is Pierce. Thanks for joining us this evening. I've got with me two of my Streaking the Lawn colleagues, Caroline, joining us tonight. Say hello, Caroline.
Hey, sorry, I'm a little sick tonight.
It's okay. You can't get germs through the computer, I'm pretty
sure. True.
And Matt Ellis is joining us tonight. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I was better like 4 hours ago.
Yeah, it's been...
The world is a team anymore. This is the worst. Mark, Rick, why? I know, I'm fine.
Well, certainly we've got a lot to discuss. I was hoping it would be a podcast of optimism and exploration of possibilities in terms of the coaching search and the basketball season. But right before, I guess this evening, we got the sad news that former Georgia coach Mark Richt is slated to become the next coach at the University of Miami, which is his alma mater. So it could totally make sense why he would choose to go there. But I know a lot of UVA fans out there were quite excited to get him to interview for our coaching opening. There's some, I think, up in the air in terms of what I'm reading on Twitter, whether or not he was actually in Charlottesville today or not. I guess in the long run, it doesn't really matter because he didn't choose UVA. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, he seemed like a home run type of hire. I think there was a lot of optimism associated with him being the possibility of our new head coach. But, is the sky falling? Are we out of good coaching candidates? Is this an indication of the terrible job our administration has done in staffing this position? Or is this just a case of our number one choice probably choosing something that stuck closer to his goals, or maybe that being geographically or the type of program or the history of the program or the fact that he played there and went there and maybe felt more comfortable there? Caroline, what do you take away from this whole drama?
I'm going to go the latter. I mean, I don't know with the back and forth and the plane following, like whether he was in Charlottesville or not. Like, I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume he wasn't, because who doesn't go to Charlottesville to immediately love it? Duh, obviously. But I think that there's too much being made of like how this is an epic failure by the administration. Like, we don't know a single thing that happened. He's an adult, people. Like, the stuff you listed, he went to Miami. Maybe he wants to live by a beach. Like, who knows? Like, I don't know. We're all big kids. Like, he just didn't choose us. We don't even know that there was a meeting in which he didn't choose us. So, mm-hmm. There are plenty of other coaches. Like, it's not like this is 3 months from now. And if London was fired 4 days ago, like mm-hmm. 4 days ago. Like, I understand that there's some pressure when you've got like Fuente going to Virginia Tech and DJ pick it a Durkin going to Maryland. Like, that stuff coming out. Like, it sucks to see your like quote unquote rivals getting hires of like relatively competent people, and you're still like, what are we going to be stuck with? Is it going to be Mac Brown? And like, everyone's flipping out.
I will flip out if it's Mac Brown, but that's a conversation.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. But I remember seeing someone say like, it's going to be 3 months from now and Mac Brown's going to be like, oh, hey there, how you doing? I'm like, no.
Matt, what did you take away from today's action?
So right after the Rick news came out, actually, I put up a highly unofficial Twitter poll with, I think it was Mac Brown, Matt Rhule, who's the coach at Temple, Mike Sanford, the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, and Jeff Brom, the coach at Western Kentucky, asking people who they would want. And Mac Brown won, which is the most concerning part for me, because I'm with you guys, and that he's absolutely not who I want. I think I agree with Caroline for the most part, right? So it's definitely disappointing, because there was all this optimism all day where allegedly he was in Charlottesville and things were going well. And I know numbers were being reported that for once it really seemed like money was not going to be an issue this time. We weren't going to get outbid. So I think it looked like things were trending the right way. And whenever that happens and UVA fans get their hopes up, nothing good can happen of that. So we're all sort of accustomed to this at this point.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good coaches out there, right? There's the four guys that I just named. You've got guys like Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. And we can go and hire Al Golden, who we know loves Charlottesville, and he would be great, and everyone would riot, but it'd be fun.
Plus, we get all those old sassy pictures of him from the sidelines, which I've been loving.
Would you guys both say that you know, before today, before any of the talk of Mark Richt is coming to visit, coming to interview? But once he was fired and for all intents and purposes, a viable candidate, did he become your number one in terms of hypothetical coaches you wanted to see? Was he at the top of your personal hot board for coaching replacement?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, as he's described as, you know, a great guy who can actually win, which is opposed to Mike London, who's just a great guy. And I mean, everyone knows I like Coach London. He's a fantastic human being, and I wish we could keep people on for being fantastic human beings. But I also hate losing to Tech, so I can see where, you know, the chagrin comes in. But, I mean, it's hard not to have someone like Mark Richt up there. My cousin's a Georgia grad, and she was hysterical because she was like, get him out. And I was like, this is unreal to me, the dichotomy between the two fan bases, where he can do what he did at, I think he had 51 losses in 15 years, and we've had 55 and 7. So, I mean, like, you're like, yay, Mark Richt. And she's like, the plague, get him out. So, I mean, it's all how you look at it, but this could be the Tubby Smith to Tony Bennett thing for us, where we have our heart set on Mark Richt, and all of a sudden we don't know that there's someone, I don't know, Sanford. I'm not saying he's a guy, but say there's someone like that that comes
whoever
in that
it could be.
Has no idea, and he does awesome. So,
right. Matt, was he at the top of your board as well?
I've been an advocate for Dan Mullen over Richt. Richt was at the top of my board, I guess, realistically, because there were rumors, I know, like a week ago, that Mullen was interested in UVA, Tech, and Maryland, and wanted to get back in the area. Obviously, Tech and Maryland are now filled, so I hope those rumors are true and he has to settle for us. But once it looked like Richt was a good possibility, he sort of became the top pick. But if there's any way we can get Dan Mullen, I think that'd be a phenomenal hire, and I think even a better hire, because if you can win 7, 8, 9, 10 games a year in Starkville, Mississippi, you can absolutely win that many in the ACC Coastal. He's my top choice. Hopefully we can work
magic
there.
Mine too. He's my new fave.
Yeah. I would say...
Plus, our colors are way better than that, like, brown, burnt red, whatever they were. So, win-win.
Ever since that baseball super regional, everything about Mississippi State just disgusts me. So,
I'll just tell him to leave his bells at home. Like, that's part of the contract.
That's my only negative with him. But he's tainted just having been there. But no, I think he's definitely in the top group. I will say, before that Richt was available, the guy who's probably now my number one and has always been my top group for sure is Troy Calhoun, Air Force's coach. I just think he's got an absolutely great resume of demonstrated success building a system, which sort of speaks to, you know, the type of coach that UVA needs, someone who brings in, you know, the X's and O's that are going to do well, even if it's not just 4-star and 5-star recruits playing in that system. Not that we can't recruit well. I mean, obviously Mike London shown we can get good recruits here and wins are going to get good recruits here, no matter who the coach is. But I think the thing we were missing with the London regime is something that Troy Calhoun would definitely bring, which is a demonstrated knowledge of what kind of system will work for no matter who your players are, you know, or at least scouting and recruiting players who fit that system. And that, I think, draws that Tony Bennett comparison that you're making, Caroline, somebody who is bringing in the ability to succeed here. And if you do it at Air Force, there's no reason you couldn't do it at a place like UVA.
Yeah, go Navy. But yeah, absolutely. And what I think should be a pretty nice like draw for outside of just Charlottesville and the ACC Coastal being open and whatever is you look at a couple of the guys we've got coming back, primarily Nick Conti, the punter. No, but I mean, seriously, like Ham was fantastic that near the end of the season. You've got Oz, who's like growing into a role, like a Kaiser, first team All ACC. Got Quinn Blanding for 2 more years. Matt Johns had an almost record-breaking season at quarterback, and he obviously has some skills. Mm-hmm. You have all these pieces, like, you can build something with these kids. Like, you can bring in some of your own recruits, but you have some good pieces there.
Mm-hmm. Matt, who would you also have at the top of your list if, you know, if we don't get Mississippi State's coach?
I think I've gone to Matt Rhule, who's the coach at Temple. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who obviously is familiar with the area. I think my concern with Calhoun is not being fully versed on his background. It's always a little concerning when you've got a guy coming from across the country who might not sort of have the connections to the area. Obviously, it worked with Bennett, but it's different when you've got to recruit 2 to 3 guys a year and can sort of do a national recruiting search mm-hmm. versus when you're bringing in 20 to 25 recruits a year.
No,
so that'd be part of what concerns me. But Rhule's a guy who took over Temple when they were winning 2 games and 0 games. And, you know, they're 10-2 this year. They almost beat Notre Dame in that nationally televised game. They did beat Penn State. I think he'd be a great fit if we could get him. He's a younger guy as well, I believe. I think he's around 40. So ideally, he'd be a guy who you could sort of plug in and build a program around for an extended period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think of Jeff Brohm, the Western Kentucky coach?
I think I wouldn't be surprised, based on absolutely zero information at all, if he ended up getting the job.
Really?
Just because I think there's this desire to have a little bit of flair around things and mm-hmm. to have someone with an offensive background and an offensive identity.
Right.
And he absolutely has that. You know, he was a quarterback in college. He was in the NFL for a while, even though he didn't play much.
Mm-hmm.
And at Western Kentucky, he learned under Petrino, where they just put up unbelievable passing statistics and would bring sort of that excitement that people want. But he's been a head coach for 2 years, and he inherited a program that Petrino was already running. He didn't have to turn it around. He didn't have to build it up himself. So I'm a little concerned as to, you know, how he could do having to really reinvigorate things here in Charlottesville. But if he's the pick, then great. We'll score a lot of points, and I'm sure other teams will too.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to a fan of another program. So by that, I mean someone who doesn't really follow UVA sports too closely. And he said, have you guys looked at Kirby Smart? Why isn't his name coming out in any of that discussion? I think Smart's probably getting hired by South Carolina or just hasn't been thrown around in the UVA discussion. But what I said to him was,
Kirby took the Georgia job.
Oh, Georgia. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah, Georgia job. This was a couple days before that. But one thing I was telling him was that while the Mike London hire, everyone knew that was happening pretty much before it came down. I mean, it seemed like the natural choice. It seemed like the perfect fit, and it turned out to be so, and was a short process. I was telling him, you know, the Tony Bennett hire with the Tubby Smith and the other candidates going around to replace Lato. No one, at least I remember following it really closely, I guess 7 years ago or so, and I never had heard of Tony Bennett. You know, I recognized who it was and that Washington State had made it to the tournament a couple times and whatnot, but I never heard his name associated with the gig following the recruiting and coaching search stuff as much as any other sports nerd, you know. So it literally, to me, and I think most people would echo it, came out of nowhere. So I was telling my friend, is in all likelihood, we're going to obsess about the same 4 or 5 hot names that all the other fan bases are trying to recruit to their openings, and they might hire someone we never even considered. So that is the joy of sports blogging, I guess, or sports podcasts. Such.
Sources. Hashtag sources. Have right. All been wrong. All of them.
If we just go camp out at the Ivy League 7-Eleven, I'm sure we'll find the next head coach.
Exactly.
Was there anybody else? I think there's one more person we need to talk about a little bit, at least, before we turn to basketball. And that's got to be Samford at Notre Dame, the offensive coordinator, who I think has, especially before Richt became available, was probably thrown around as the the trendiest choice, and he's never even had head coaching experience. So it seems to go against a little bit of what Little Page was saying in his press release in terms of what type of direction they would want to go for. Do either of you guys have strong feelings about pursuing him as our next coach?
This has been like my favorite twist in the last like hour and a half. So then with the Richt thing, they say like, oh, no Richt. And then it's like, oh, but Stanford was right there until he heard we were going after Richt. Now he's out. And now the story is Richt was never even in Charlottesville. So it just makes me laugh. Like, yeah. Is Stanford mad about this fake meeting that we never even had that we got you? But, yeah. And he also said he was asked, I guess, in front of Brian Kelly, like at a press conference type thing, like, oh, are you going anywhere else? He's like, no, I'm committed to Notre Dame. So that might be that he's actually committed to Notre Dame, or that might be, yeah, man, my boss is right here. I'm committed. Yeah,
that doesn't mean anything. I think for those listening who might not know, what Caroline's referencing is some maybe Twitter message board chatter tonight that sources, or what I'm hearing through my, you know, whoever it is, that Stanford was a viable candidate until we decided to go all in pursuing Mark Richt. And now his response, apparently, according to these grapevine sources, is to act scorned and not be interested in the job anymore, which A, right off the bat, let me say, is certainly false. But B, I don't trust, you know, most things you read in that format. But B, in the rare instance that is true, that this guy was trying to get a job or was interested in the head coaching position here, and then would act to us pursuing one of the best coaches in the country instead of him and go, well, never mind, I'm not interested, is would be the least impressive way to respond in the situation as possible. And someone I would never, ever want in a head coaching position,
someone
who would act like that. That's why I find it completely unbelievable to be true, because it doesn't make any sense. It's not prom date, you know, it's not sure, but now you're going to ask me instead. That's not the situation. We're talking about a job. We're talking about a multi-million dollar promotion to one of the, you know, best paid state employees, not to mention you know, all the power that comes with being a head coach in a Power Five conference and whatnot. I mean, it's a job.
What if schools had to prompose to coaches, like kids for prom these days? How funny would that be if there's like a banner over like 29 that's like, Stanford, will you be our coach, with like hearts and balloons and stuff? It'd be awesome.
Well, maybe it's an attractive enough gig that we can have like The Bachelor and just draw it out and make some money off of reality television.
And, oh my God, this should be like a thing. Why is this not a thing?
It shouldn't be coaches. No coaches would do that. But if we just got like 12 like people, like normal UVA fans or otherwise, to audition for the coaching position as a reality.
No, coaches should do this. They should have weekly like drills, or, oh my gosh, this would be amazing. Like, they have to like, wow, that'd be really cool. Will you accept this football?
I just want to sign up for it and be able to participate myself. And it's my idea. So I think we can all go on it and have, there it is. All of us should apply for it, and all of us should compete to be the next coach. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in. Shrinking the lawn. Who's the next coach? I'm on it.
Right. Well, do you guys want to talk about the basketball team? Maybe talk a little more happy stuff. Yeah. So basketball team, big win last night at Ohio State. First off, do you have any conspiracy theories regarding the appendices? I don't know, of our basketball team. Do we believe that it was a case of London's appendix, or is this just a smokescreen? Sinister, Matt. What do you think?
I think we just need to get everyone's appendix out. We do it all at once, and maybe we do it over like finals, because you got like 11 days to get everyone back. And if we have to forfeit, you know, the first game coming back from that, that's fine. But then everyone's healthy for the rest of the season. It'll be team bonding. It'll be helpful. And that way we never have to do this ever again.
I think probably get a group rate too.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want to get a nice little cheap surgeon.
No, I didn't say cheap surgeon. Just maybe he would, you know, knock off, you know, do 10 for the price of 9. You know what I mean? Like, pretty good deal.
Well, I think Kyle Guy should definitely get one this summer before coming to Grounds.
Agreed.
Huff and Jerome.
It's so bizarre. Like, I know we've, like, posted a couple names that have, like, when was the last, like, big appendix issue outside of Justin Anderson's? Like, it's not contagious. It's not, like, it's going around the apartment. Like,
it's not happening to other UVA students, I think. So it's probably not, like...
So random. I'm not conspiracy theory yet. If there's a third one, like, I'm calling the X-Files and it's on. Like, this is weird.
There's some sort of mysterious voodoo curse going on, probably. Well, what'd you guys think of the Buckeyes game? Were you impressed with how they managed to get a win, you know, against not the best team, but still a big name, talented 2-4 Big Ten on the road, you know?
I mean, yeah.
It's a resume booster, regardless of how Ohio State plays this year. On a scale of 1 to 10, how impressive was the win for you, Caroline?
I'm going to go, I'm between a 7 and an 8, and here's why.
Ooh, that's hot.
Yeah, I was actually, I mean, you talk about, they've had four now, four straight ACC road wins in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something a little bit extra when you do the challenge, I think, and it's always good to get that win because you feel like you're pulling your weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're without London, and I think that showed a little bit just with some of the... his ability to just control the offense. Like, we settled for a lot of outside shots,
mm-hmm.
which worked out fine-ish because Malcolm was just, like, shooting flames.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Ohio State is going to be actually relatively difficult near the end of the season. They start four freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
They're athletic, they're long, and they shot well yesterday, and I'm not entirely sure how well they've shot over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But they were making some shots where you're like, what? Really? Mm-hmm. Or like, most of the time we'd be okay giving that up. I still don't like a lot of the lane drives that we're giving up and the baseline drives. Those scare me.
Yeah.
I don't like giving up 50 plus points. I just don't. It's weird. I get uncomfortable.
Matt, how about you? Were you impressed? Were you hesitant?
I'm gonna go 5 if I had to go from 1 to 10. I think Caroline made some good points. I almost actually went higher just after listening to her. So she's right. Anytime you go on the road, and again, we're a top 10 team now. So now when we go to people's places, fans show up for that game. People get excited for that game because it's an upset if they can beat us, which is a really, really weird feeling.
Yeah.
But going on the road to an established Big Ten program and being able to get a win is automatically impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it without London was great. Malcolm is on pace to be the national player of the year at this point. I think what was concerning for me is similar to what Caroline was talking about. We only gave up 58 points, but we didn't look good defensively doing it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the issue, and we had the same issue against GW, and we've had it at stretches in other games, is everyone, all the rotations just seem to be like a half second late.
Yep.
And we don't have Justin or Darion who can erase that mistake right now. So, because when the post trap's a little late, they can find the three-point shooters. And those guys, even on some of the misses they had in the last 2 minutes of the game yesterday, some of those misses were wide open.
Yeah.
And that's just not something I'm used to seeing at all. And that still has me a little bit concerned. But our offense is probably better than it's been since Tony got there.
Yeah, that's true. I also was really impressed with Isaiah and Darius. I thought did a great job. Darius, I mean, he was hitting threes, and he's not supposed to be a, quote, good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked very comfortable. And that sweet, like, fast break layup where he, like, pulled it out to the right before he laid it in, like, that was pretty sweet. I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that was really nice. And he's just so quick. I was glad to see Devin Hall get a lot of playing time, and obviously he was going to get playing time with London being out. I would like to see him be a little more aggressive because I think he's got a pretty shot. But Thompson, to your, you know, that's definitely the note on him is that he's not known as a shooter. But I think I read today he's 7-for-14 so far.
Yeah, which is take that.
Obviously, yeah. Certainly a good percentage if he can keep it anywhere close to that from three. And that would just really open up the offense. I mean, the reason Malcolm went off is because they were giving him so much space. And it's the same reason why they were struggling in the paint is because they were crashing the paint and they were giving our outside shooters space. So you got to take advantage of that. I think they tried to continue to feed Gill because obviously you don't want the other team to dictate the game. And Ohio State was saying, you're not getting post points or you're going to have to beat us from outside. So, you know, you take advantage of it when you get a good shot, but you still try and give Gill the ball more. I think it was Whitey on Twitter today was saying, and I apologize if I'm wrong with who I'm referencing here, but he made a good point about feeding Gill plenty, but not feeding Toby, who does have the moves, you know, to beat a collapsed paint presence on defense, and really didn't get any opportunity to show it in the game. So I thought that was a little concerning, or at least something that Virginia could take advantage of, and it's in a pretty clear way, and didn't really try last night. But maybe, you know, the rotation and back in the minutes that you would want. So who knows why that is, really.
But tell me you're not more comfortable when Gill gets the ball down low than Toby.
Certainly. I think Gill's got a better, you know, repertoire, so to speak, of moves and whatnot. Yeah. But Toby, when he catches it, has the natural 6'11" ability to be able to break, I think.
He's made some nice moves. He had a nice couple shots last night. I also am still, I know, like, everyone's obsessed with Jack Salt. I'm on the total Salt bandwagon. He's fantastic. I like him starting. I kind of like that role. He had no fouls last night. What up, my man, Jack Salt?
Well, I think it's completely clear that Tony doesn't want Toby and Gill on the same floor much at the same time. Much. And that I think Salt starting is because Gill's starting and not because Salt's better.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, Salt brings some hustle. He was a little slow on some of those doubles that left some people wide open for better or worse. Like you said, Ohio State was missing some open shots. I agree with Matt, though, in a bit of your hesitation on the defense, because, I mean, G-Dub, the Washington game and the Ohio State game on the road, I'm not going to say tough environment, because obviously Columbus doesn't seem to really get amped for games too much.
Sean McDonough put them on blast last night. He was just like, well, I thought the fans would care, but I can hear the benches yelling.
But we didn't ask Mark Titus about that. Actually, I think he was tweeting about it at great length. But anyway.
Yeah, I think he got blamed because he was tweeting.
It wasn't necessarily a hostile environment, you're right that going on the road, those teams are going to be amped to play a top 10 team. And that's going to lead always to some lucky bounces and some lucky shots and just, you know, feeling like you're hanging in there with one of the best teams in the country. But I don't think either of those performances make up for what were serious issues on defense. And Tony obviously said it after the George Washington game. I'm sure they're looking at the Ohio State game and seeing some of those negatives come out, which we didn't have when we were playing in the tournament that they won. So it was bad to see slower rotations again, bad to see open perimeter shots. Because that's always going to be a big weakness from the pack line, is giving up open perimeter shots. And we've seen UVA lose because of that before. So, you know, I'm sure they're aware. I'm sure we're all aware, being fans of it. But it's certainly something that needs to be addressed.
I look at GW very differently than last night's game, though. And granted, I did not rewatch GW because I was there and I was like, don't want to relive that again. But a lot of what I think the GW problem was a lot of the not understanding or changing their approach due to the rules. Mm. Like, I think that was a big part of it, the way I looked at it. Like, they just really had no answer for how to defend without getting any fouls called. Mm. And also, Isaiah was way off that game. Like, he was just off. As were a lot of people. Darius didn't play well. London didn't play particularly great. Like, it was just kind of... But last night, like, there were still those mistakes that they need to correct, but I didn't think they were as egregious. And then throw in as well, not having London. I think that's a bigger piece than
Oh, sure. Sure, of course. I'd be curious what you guys are looking for before conference play starts in terms of some pretty huge games coming up in resume boosts. I mean, Cal is a talented team. And Villanova, obviously, is one of the best teams in the country. We get Villanova at home, thankfully, but... is there anything beyond what we've discussed already that you're hoping to see or looking for improvement in before they get into the ACC slate?
I think the West Virginia game, which is next, I want to say it's next Tuesday. I think it's December 8th at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. I think that'll actually be an interesting test because I know everyone's focused on Cal and Villanova, as we should be, because I believe they're both still top 25 and they're both coming to JPJ. But mm-hmm. it's possible we have to take on West Virginia without London, mm-hmm. depending on how the appendix heals, I guess. and they run a VCU type system where they mm-hmm. press full court. They're great at turning people over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about Hall, we talked about Thompson. But I think it'd be interesting to see how we can do with sort of the younger, or at least the less experienced in this system guards, at a neutral site against a team that's going to play really up tempo. Mm-hmm. And defensively, you know, one of the hallmarks of the pack line is, or at least in Tony's pack line, has always been that we don't give up fast break points. And we never have. But if we're having all these struggles defensively early in the season, is that another area with a team where we're more comfortable running now? Could we be more easily sort of persuaded to play that up and down style game against that kind of opponent that we haven't played in the past?
Sure.
I'm interested to see how that goes, because I think that'll have impacts on how we play in the ACC against opponents like Duke and UNC and those guys who are obviously way better than West Virginia, but would love to get Virginia into a game that's up and down, that we seem more comfortable playing this year than in the past. We've just avoided like the plague. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's not forget William and Mary on Saturday and then West Virginia. No, I agree with everything that Matt has said. I think that I really do like the schedule that Tony Bennett's put together. I've mm-hmm. gotten so much like smack talk from people. They're like, "Well, you guys lost to GW." I'm like, "Well, I honestly don't even care." Like, sure, it would have been great to get that win, but I think that win wouldn't have done as much as this loss has. Mm-hmm. I just think that like this team just looks different, and I think that's what is has stressed me out. I'm not gonna lie; like, there are things watching this team where I'm like, "Oh my god!" and that's because we've been so spoiled defensively. I see that we're number 12 in the country, and I'm like, "This is ridiculous!" Like, what are they doing? They're falling apart. Now, I'm not that dramatic about it, but you look at it, and we're so used.
Cancel the rest of the season.
Yeah, obviously, like Tony's done here; he's outstayed his welcome. No, because you look at it and you think like, I can't believe we gave up 55 points. This is absurd. And then you think about it for a second, and you're like, okay, it's not that bad. It just doesn't look as tight as we're used to, which is stressful. I mean, like you want it to, because that's the hallmark. If we can score like we have been, but then go back a little bit more to where we were defensively. And I think Darion was the biggest piece of that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, everyone misses Justin, but having a Darion or a Keel, we don't really have that role.
I agree.
And I think that's one that you have to figure out the, you know, defense by committee to make up for someone like that.
Totally. And I think to your point about not caring about the George Washington loss, I don't think Tony going into the game had any care whether there was a win or a loss on the outside.
Right.
And, you know, I know that's sort of coach speak and he says things like that all the time, but going into that, obviously that game doesn't matter in terms of getting a win. Certainly getting a win is better than getting a loss there. But you don't need to win there. What you need to do, and what he was doing, is figure out how you're going to win the ACC. And in the second game of the season against a good opponent, you're going to shuffle people around and try things and see what gels, what works, what doesn't work. Maybe there's a little too much what doesn't work.
GW is going to go to the tournament. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Like, they played really well. They're a veteran coach team. Like, and honestly, like, this is just Caroline speak. This isn't like sources. I wouldn't be surprised if Tony was slightly, just a little bit happy that they lost. Like, not like trying to coach to a loss, obviously, but I think that there was a piece of it that he's like, because he's all about the humble, like the humility. Like, you guys aren't that good. You're not number six. Like, you need to like work hard to stay here. Like, you have to do better.
And certainly it's always nice to be undefeated late in the season like last year, but as long as they work on the things that they learn from those games, which obviously they're going to do, you know, everything's fine. Let's just save the negativity for if things don't go the way we want early in the conference schedule. But we'll hopefully never have to deal with that. So
I'm sure it's an unpopular opinion and that Caroline will disagree with you before I finish the sentence.
I'm ready.
But I really don't think we're actually going to win the ACC this year.
Uh-huh.
In the regular season. I consider us to have won it 2 years in a row, and I know people will say the conference tournament is what matters, but fine, whatever. I mean, the regular season champ is the best team in the ACC.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we're going to win that this year.
I've gone back and forth, honestly. I'll say, like, because I watched Carolina, Maryland last night. Way to go, Carolina. I will root for them in this situation. I went back and forth looking at it like, are they really good? Or is Maryland just mediocre and they're matching mediocrity and it looks really good? Yeah. Like, I can't, I mean, Paige is very good. He's a very good player. But, I mean, they're definitely beatable, as you and I showed, even though they didn't have Paige, I know.
Right.
But then I look at Duke, and they're playing, I'm going to watch the game in, like, whatever, an hour when it comes on. Mm-hmm. They've been a one-man show, and I'd be a little bit concerned if I were a Duke fan, which I'm not, because Grayson Allen's been, like, the only guy, really. And, like, it's great that he's putting up 30 points a game for them, but look what happened against Kentucky. He was off. And they lost. Like, I'm curious, but he's also the type of player that will get all of the calls with the new system against our type of defense.
Yeah.
I also got Louisville,
who is currently beating Michigan State.
Yeah, Louisville looks good.
Yeah, what's this? I can't stream and be on the internet right now because
I believe Louisville's up three at halftime.
Yeah,
they're up three at halftime. Yeah, they look good early. Michigan State was all over the place. But, yeah, I mean, Louisville, Miami, but they seem to be streaky. You know, like, they'll get, like, super hot, and then one game they're just, like, nothing.
Well, so, regardless of if we think they're going to win the regular season or the conference or something, does this mean that your expectations have changed since the preseason because of watching the other ACC teams or watching UBA?
Not too much in terms of if we're talking about expectations for March and for the tournament, because I think once you get into the tournament, it's such a crapshoot that it's really hard to have expectations beyond, I think we should make the second weekend. I think we're good enough to do that. And obviously, you know, if it comes out that we get a, let's say we get a 3 seed and the 6 seed is somehow, that would be unfortunate. Yeah, right. But my expectation is that I think this team is good enough that it should make the second weekend of the tournament, barring injury or some crazy matchup. And beyond that, anything else would just be gravy. So I didn't have those preseason expectations of if we don't make a Final Four, it's a failure, or we need to win a national title this year. Right. I mean, you react the same way, but I know people absolutely had those, and the talent is probably still there to make that run. But it hasn't changed too much for me. I think people are a little bit more realistic now though, than they were probably 7 games ago.
Yeah, and I'll freely admit that I think I've probably tempered my expectations a little bit because of what I've seen and everything we've talked about. Now, could they still win the regular season conference? Absolutely. Do I think they'll do well? Absolutely. But I am a little skeptical of the three-peat for the regular season. But like you said, tournaments is a whole nother thing. And so it really, it's hard to predict, you know, ACC tournament or NCAA tournament this early. And so my expectations for those haven't changed whatsoever. But of course, I don't believe I was thinking Final Four run or bust. You know, that's the ceiling and that's what we're hoping for. And I think it still could happen. But my big skepticism, I think, right now is how consistent can they be excellent in the conference games? And I think they're just going to probably drop a few that last year's team didn't drop and might leave them as the 2 or 3 seed, which is still excellent. But hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully they just win out. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds way better.
That sounds good to me. I think on that note, we'll close up shop for the evening, but I think
can I do one last push?
Yeah, of course.
As going with my Navy roots, everyone go out there and write in Keenan for Heisman, because that's awesome that they took him off the ballot. But
okay, well, that
come on, Keenan Reynolds for Heisman. He's a good dude. He's gonna go serve this country next. At least
I do like the Navy football helmets that they'll be.
Oh my god, they're so cool, right?
They're pretty sharp. We should get some.
You can edit this out if you want to. It's fine.
No, I think it's a good stopping point. Thanks for listening, everybody who's listening, and we'll be back soon, hopefully, to talk about more UVA wins, and hopefully talk about a new coach whenever that happens. And certainly, we hope that it's an awesome one, and not Mac Brown.
Mac Brown, woo!
Finish by saying, as we always do, go Hoos!